come and inhabit the praise and you worship with your saints, Lord Jesus, as we're becoming one with you, Lord Jesus. What a privilege it is to be able to come in spirit and in truth, to recognize you, Father, in our midst, Lord, and to worship you in truth, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for your spirit. Thank you for coming among us, Lord. Now, as we turn to open the word, Lord, and just to allow you to speak what's on your heart, Lord, I just ask you, take liberty, Lord, and say what you want to say, Lord, the way you want it said. Meet all the needs in here tonight, Father, by the word. Be with us, Lord. Be with the ones who couldn't be here tonight, Lord. Just strengthen them also, Lord. Watch over us. We ask this in your name. Amen. And if you want to turn in the Bible, we're going to read from a couple places in Matthew. Matthew 16. And Matthew 27. We'll start at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we'll start at verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. If you turn over to Matthew 27, we're going to read two verses in Matthew 27, starting at verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And be seated. Tonight, I'm going to ask that question. Brother Branham preached this message, what shall I do with Jesus? I'm going to title this tonight, what shall I do with Jesus? You say, well, Brother Branham already preached it. Why are you preaching it? Ask the one who gave it to me. All right, he'll tell you. Maybe you'll find out later on tonight why I had to preach this, hopefully. Brother Branham speaking in this message, what shall I do with Jesus? He said, when the reformer's age went out, the beast with the face like a man, organization issued. So during the reformer's age, you remember the four beasts and the beast of the man's face. It was a man's knowledge, a man's understanding, intellect, and it caused organization from it. That's what came out of it. That's why he had to go to the next age. He said, but in the face of the eagle, the beast that went to make the challenge of today, and he said, who would dare to say that wasn't the inspired word of God? When he foretold it here, sent out yonder to Arizona, and brought it right back, even with science and everything else, and proved it so. He's talking about the opening of the seals, which was under the eagle anointing. It had to be the eagle anointing, which is prophetic, had to open the seals. It was not the man's idea. It was not man's thought. It was not that anointing anymore. It took prophetic anointing of the eagle. Then he said, proved it so. This book's already opened. That's right. He said it right there. This book's already opened. That's right. Just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified with the coming of Christ. The book's already opened. Just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified. All right? And how's it going to be identified? With the coming of Christ. This makes me so happy, I just want to stop and think about it for a while. This book's been opened. It's been preached. He preached this in 1963, November 1963. He said, it's been opened. It's just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified. And how's it going to be identified? With the coming of Christ. Brother and sister, what he said right there is what's been happening right here. I have no problem saying that. The coming of Christ is identifying the open seventh seal. That's what we've been preaching on for the last couple months. So, do we believe that? Do we believe that the seventh seal is being identified by the coming of Christ? Do we see that Christ coming? And remember, I'm not talking about when you see him in the air, when we go and meet him in there. That's not what I'm talking about here, because you need to see him coming in the bride coming, or you're never going to see him in the air. You need to see him right now. And who is Christ? You're talking about, well, he's the man who was crucified. Yes, he was. But brother and sister, he is also the word for this day manifest. The reason that was Christ on the hanging on the cross, because that was the word for that day being manifest. You could have took anybody else and put them up on a cross and said, this is Christ dying on the cross. But it would not have been. It had to be that particular one. Identifying the word for that day. That's what made him who he was. It's the same thing makes what you are, brother and sister. You are the word for the day being identified as the bride, because this is the day for the bride coming to Christ, which means the word manifests through the bride today. I preach this. I bet I preach this every time. The last time I preached for the last 2 years, I preach this every time, and it just keeps coming back. So these are two reasons I think about this. Either someone just hasn't got the revelation of it, or God thinks it's really important for us to get it. I don't know, but it excites me, brother and sister, because when I see this happening, the seventh seal being identified, its openness. Someone try to tell you the seventh seal isn't open right now. What are you going to say? They bring all the quotes they want to, and you're going to say, yeah, but brother, I got this evidence right here, the word itself being manifest. You can't tell someone, you can't tell you folks that the seventh seal isn't open. It's not a doctrine anymore. It's a manifestation. If someone came and said and tell you, well, Malachi 4 hasn't been fulfilled yet, or the part that, you know, Elijah coming to Malachi 4 hasn't been fulfilled yet, you say, well, yes, it has. Right there it happened. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same thing today for the word today. You say, well, the seventh seal isn't open. Yes, it has. Right here it's happening. I hope you see that. Hope you do. So what we want to look at now, brother and sister, is this word. You know, brother, Jesus was preaching. He said, watch. I should have brought this. I didn't bring this scripture, but he said, watch. He was always saying, watch and pray. Watch, watch, because you don't know what hour the man, he said the man has had his house broken in. He said, if you know what time the thief was going to come, he'd have stayed up and watched. He said, the same thing I said to you, watch. Now I want to ask you something. What are you watching for? What are you watching for? You are watching. A believer is always watching for the word for their day. You know, we just sang the song, Old Time Religion. Brother and sister, this religion is old. It's always been the same religion all the way down. You say, oh, no, the message is new. Brother and sister, that's just a part for us. The religion is always Christ in your day, the word manifest in your day. You have to recognize that. That means it's ever since we've been Adam and Eve before that. It's always been the same. Where is Christ? That is what you will be accountable for. That is what you are accountable for. Are you watching? Do you recognize Christ? So when you're watching, when you're looking around, don't look around for a doctrine. You know, you hear a preacher, you say, well, I don't wonder what he preaches. Do you preach something that I agree with? Watch for the Christ in the ministry. Amen. That's what you're accountable for, brother and sister. The Christ, the word manifest. We watch so many times, we watch for someone's doctrine, we watch how holy they are, we watch how intellectual, we watch how anointed, we watch all these other things. That's not going to be the question. The question is, do you see Christ? And if you do, what about him? What do you do with Christ? You know what happens if you happen to miss the rapture and you come up on Judgment Day? You know what the question is going to be to you on standing there? It's going to say, what did you do with Jesus called Christ? That's the question. Oh, now God, you have to understand, I knew all the doctrines. I knew all the quotes. I lived such a holy life. I gave all my stuff to the poor. I was just a good person. I was so kind-hearted. He said, I asked you a question. What did you do with Jesus called Christ? That's the question. He said, except your holy, except your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. You and I can't live as good as the Pharisees, brother and sister. He wasn't talking about that. You know what? They lived such a holy life, and yet they stood there as rank sinners. Why? Because they rejected Christ in their day. That's what made them sinners. It's the same in every age. Oh, Brother Phil, I can tell you everything Brother Branham said. I can tell you the quotes. I can tell you all about the seven seals. I can tell you about the thunders. I can give you all the doctrines about the serpent seed. I can tell you all about the Godhead. But what did you do with Jesus called Christ? The anointed word for your hour, for your day. That's the question. Rejecting Christ, the word in flesh. Oh, I don't reject Brother Branham. No, I don't either. But he's not in flesh. People say, we don't need Brother Branham. Well, you know, people reject the message. You follow some prophet. You follow some man. I follow Jesus Christ. Really? Are you following him today? Or are you following him from what he did yesterday? You say, I don't need any prophet. I follow. All we need is Jesus Christ. Okay, then acknowledge him today. Is Hebrews 13:8 right or is it not? Let me read something he said. Brother Brian, he's talking about the message. He says it's on tape. If they shoot me down, whatever they might do, they'll never stop that message. It'll go on just the same. It's already out. It's taped. It's gone. It's the word of the end right now, thoroughly vindicated and proved over and over and over by signs, wonders, by mechanics, by dynamics, by science, by the church, by God himself, proved that it's the hour both by word and by signs and wonders. A message approved of God among you by signs and wonders of the hour. A message that Jesus Christ is not dead but living just the same as he ever was and sending forth its proven world over. He said this message has been proven over. Let me keep reading. He said, we must face the fact that he's on our hands. We see him in his word. We see him vindicate himself. We know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Then I'm not only talking to this congregation here, but I'm talking to millions in this tape that'll go around the world. He's on your hands in tape land wherever you are. You know it's the truth. If you don't, then you're blind. He said, you can't see the word, neither can you see him. God in the word, he's on your hands. What are you going to do with him? He said, this has been proved. It's over. It's no more to be questioned about, brother and sister. We who claim to believe the message, we know this is the truth. It's been proven to be true. How about us when we see it thoroughly identified that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's here. He's on our hands. He's on our hands. He's on our hands. What are you going to do with him? He said it three times and he asked, what are you going to do with him? He's on our hands. We've seen this word proven. What are you going to do with Jesus called the Christ? What'll I do with this Jesus that's the anointed Christ? What does he do? How do you know it's him? The promise of this day, the day we're living in. There's so much scripture say. So many inches of it has supposed to be fulfilled. These last inches of this last day, there's something sitting here that's supposed to happen. And here it is. What is it? The same anointed Christ, the anointed word. What are you going to do with it? He said there's word for each day. And here we have a few more inches, so to speak, of a word that has to be fulfilled. And he fulfilled that part that he was supposed to. And the people in 1960s and 70s, whatever, they fulfilled their part. And we listened to it and those people were there. But this going on now, we had to fulfill our part and it's still the same. What are you going to do with it? The word is vindicated, brother and sister. It's been proven to be true. Today, 2016. I'm not talking about what happened in Brother Branham's ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is supposed to be happening here because we have to fulfill some too. What is the word? What is the bride currently supposed to be doing? Because it's got to be the bride ministry right now. Let me just get in trouble right off the bat. You know, they have this thing they get called the Agape Tour. It's a bus out of Jeffersonville, and they went down. They had a big meeting in Missouri and one in Texas, and you know, next week I think they're going to be in Georgia. And what they're projecting is this is what God is doing today. This is the work of God today. This is where the cutting edge is, the very forefront of the battle is getting this message out, getting the tapes and books around the world. And it is very important that we do that. It's a very important work of God. But brother and sister, let me tell you what, that is not the cutting edge. Because you can get those books and tapes into the hand of everybody in the world. But that won't put them in a rapture. What God is doing now is taking that message and he's preaching it to his bride and he is preparing her and he is fulfilling the word that she is supposed to do right now. Yeah, we need the message of the hour and we need that, but they need to put it in perspective. Because you can give them the book, but if you give them the book and you don't give them Christ in flesh, you're not getting them to Christ. You're getting to a doctrine. What God did yesterday. That's not it. Can you tell them? So what happens when you turn down the proven truth? This is what God is doing, brother. He says, I'll stand up there on judgment day if I had to, and I judge for what I'm saying. Brother, sister, what I see, I hope you see it. I hope you see what I'm looking at, brother, sister. When you see the word that is supposed to be projected, what is supposed to be manifest, and we see it now, do you know Christ? Do you recognize him? Or is he still, I see why, you know, we're good people, Brother Phil, and we're living a good life, and we're trying to just go and do the best we can. No! That ain't what I'm talking about. Do you recognize the word that was preached, living in human flesh, not just because you're a good person? There's a million good people are going to hell. It's got to be this word for this day. I've said this 1,000 times and it just seems like hit a wall. What happens when you turn it down? Next is crucifixion. And we're facing it. Jesus said, what shall I say? Save me from this hour? But no. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Crucifixion today, brother, sister, what is it? Brother Brandon, he preached that awesome message. There they crucify him. And he said, they crucify him by making the word of non-effect. The word, the manifestation that's supposed to happen in this day will not happen because they stop it from happening with their creeds and their doctrines and their dogmas. Oh, yeah, and they're all message quotes taken out of context. He said, that's what the church says today from his heart. Me join something like that? No, Lord. Nah. Thy will be done as it is in heaven. If that's what it's got to take, it's got to be done. It's got to be crucified afresh, brother and sister. Surely we can see that part of the word being manifest. Surely we can see we're not doing that. Notice, after a promised word for that age was vindicated, they turned it down. They've done the same today. And as he came then, clearly identifying himself to be the word, it come to the showdown where they must choose a word or take the system. It's come to the same thing today, must choose a word or take the system, and they have took the system. What does that do? He's on the hands of the world. During that ministry, when Brother Branham was here, it shined around the world. It was the light shining from east to west, brother and sister. And the whole world saw the manifestation of Christ. And they took their systems over the manifestation of Christ. And now the message believers have turned around and done exactly the same thing. Because it's just more popular and more politically correct just to go along with the vast majority instead of trying to stand out like a sore thumb and have everyone looking at you and saying, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just get along with people? Jesus is on the hands of the people, on the hands of the church. What will you do with Jesus? That's called the anointed word. The Christ means the anointed word. That is the anointed. It means it's living word. What will you do with this, Jesus? Pilate said, what shall I do with it? What's my move? What can I do with it? What did the church call out? Crucify it. Stop it. We don't want it no more. They're satisfied to see what Christ did through the prophet. They do not want to keep going and watch him today. They don't want to keep going. They don't want to have to press the battle. They don't want to fight the battle of faith. They want to sit back and say, as long as I recognize him yesterday, I'm good to go. And by doing that, they crucify him afresh because this word is supposed to be producing Christ in you. And Christ is not just a good person. It's not just a good guy. It's just not just knowing a doctrine. It's not living a holy life. It is all that. But brother and sister, that without the living word means that you are crucifying him again. I'm going to ask you something, he says. Can you imagine the guilt on Oswald's hand this morning? The president had just been shot, President Kennedy. He said, can you imagine the guilt on Oswald's hand this morning, the one that murdered the president? Can you imagine what his judgment will be if it's proven to be the one that did it? The blood of the president of the United States on his hands. No matter how much he pleads, I didn't mean to do it. That won't excuse him a bit. He'll perish. Why? He's got the president's blood on his hands. Can you imagine his feelings? Would you want that on your hands? Well, what about the blood of Jesus Christ then? You think you'll be excused? You message believers, you think you're going to be excused. You think, but I've been a message believer for 80 years. I've been a good person. I've gone to church. I paid my tithes. I've lived a holy life. You think it's going to be excused, but it won't. If you don't allow this word to live through you, the blood of Jesus Christ is on your hands. Because you are not allowing it to have effect. You're telling the world, I'm a message believer, but you don't allow the message to live through you. You're saying, I don't need it. And you're willing to take your doctrine. You're willing to take your good works. You're willing to take your anointing or what someone else said instead of allowing the word to come. And you are crucifying them afresh. And you're making a fool out of the message. Humiliating him again. Because he said, this bride, this message is going to produce a rapture in the bride, and it's not happening in you. And you're saying it's not true, and the world's laughing at you. Humiliating him afresh, because he said it will do it, and it's not happening in your life. You're just a good guy. Let me just tell you something. That's one of the worst things I can say about you. You're a good guy. But are you a Christian? Are you born again? Do you have the word living through you? After it's thoroughly vindicated, how are you going to escape it? His blood's on your hands. Guilty. Sinner, where are you going from here? Message believer, where are you going from here? How are you going to justify yourself? What's your excuse going to be? Brother Brandt says this. You say, well, I intended. I didn't mean to be bad. Look, he's not talking about doing evil. This is the righteousness of Pharisees. I was a good person. I went to church every time it was open. I didn't miss as much church as you did, Brother Phil. That's wonderful. But what's the condition of your soul? Do you reject the word because you have some favorite little something that you like, some little doctrine you like, or some little holiness that you want to hold to? Or you want, but I am still, I mean, look, ain't I really a good person? Come on. I mean, everybody loves me. They love me more than they love you, Brother Phil. Good. You're not going to be excused. Talk about Oswald again. He said he committed the crime. He has to pay for it. No matter what, how much he didn't mean, how his intention was, or nothing about it, he's going to pay for it anyhow. His intentions, it doesn't matter. My intentions are good. My intention was to be born again. My intention was to be a Christian. But what are you? But I didn't know. He said, I just didn't know. I went to a church, I didn't know, but the ministry is here, brother and sister, to tell you. There's no excuse. He said, you're going to wake sometime. Wherever you're at, you're going to wake sometime, sinner, and realize that there is blood on your hand and the blood of the Son of God, and you're guilty of murdering him. Your sin murdered him, your unbelief in his word. I lived a good life, but it's your unbelief is what murders him. That's the sin. I don't believe you need to preach that way, Brother Phil. I don't believe you need it. I believe as long as I'm a good person, I follow what Brother Joseph Branham says, or I follow what Brother whoever else says. As long as I do that, I'm fine. No, you're not. He said, your unbelief in his word, your failing to see his identification, grieved away the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that again about three times. Your failing to see his identification grieved away the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because you didn't worship. It wasn't because you had a bad attitude. It wasn't because whatever. You failed to see his identification and you grieved him away. Brother David, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pick on you again because just is a perfect example. I'm so glad what God did for you because it makes a great example. I wish I could pick on some of you other people and get off Dave, but God did this in a way that let me just show you it, all right? Failing to see his identification grieved away the Holy Spirit. David sat there, Brother Jerry preached right directly to him. It was the identification of the word, pointing out his sin, and David recognized the identification and accepted it. And because of that, he says here, a born-again Christian. How many people would have sat there and heard that and said, well, Jesus don't preach like that. Oh, yes, he does. Aren't you glad he calls you out sometime? Aren't you glad he says, oh, fools, a slow heart to believe everything that I've taught you. Aren't you glad that he doesn't worry about your little feeling? He cares more about your soul than whether or not he humiliates you. He said, this is the identification. I'm telling you the truth. Will you recognize the identification of the voice of God speaking? And most of you have. That's why you're sitting here. Oh, you say, well, how's that? I've been read the Bible. How did Jesus speak to the people there? He speaks the same way today. That's love. I think I mentioned I saw a shirt sign said, God's love is warm and gentle. Yes, it is. It's a gentle, nail-scarred hands giving you a good whooping. That's the identification. That's how God speaks. That's how he treats us. Failing to see his identification grieved away the Holy Spirit. And all David had to do was get an attitude and say, I'm going to see him be humiliated like that. Refusing to recognize the identification grieved away the Holy Spirit, and David would not be here. That was probably his last shot. I don't know if it was. It was probably his last chance. Scary. Just a bad attitude. The last bad attitude, and you walk away. 5 years later, someone says something. I used to go to that church, but man, you won't believe that pastor on there. He thought he's a big shot calling me out and trying to embarrass me in front of everybody. You been back since? Nope. You won't be back. But what happens when the pastor preaches something and you sit there and say, that's talking about me. What does it do for you, Brother Jim? You walk out of here a different person. You might not even recognize it in the moment. But 10 years later, you know that, yeah, that changed me. The blood of John Kennedy on the hand of Oswald will be a minor thing than the blood of Jesus Christ in your hands when you stand before God. How is it going to be on your hands? Because he identifies himself. He's proved this is the truth. And you reject it. There's people around this town. They'll sit there and they'll tell you, I know Brother Jim's changed. I know Brother David's changed. They know these two, of course. I know this. There's something going on there. I'd go to that church, except I don't like your pastor. You choose go to hell? Their own words are going to condemn them one day. When they sit there and say, I know there's something real going on. I know that people are being changed. I know that there's something right there, but I won't come. I don't have a problem with the way Brother Jerry preaches. I just don't like the way he runs a church, so I ain't coming anymore. Grieving away the Holy Spirit. Refusing the identification that he gives of himself. Pilate tried to get rid of him. But we have to face the facts. Pilate had to face it. He said, I never did see any. He said, I never saw any works. I never saw any miracles. He wanted to see some miracles. But you've heard it anyhow. You're hearing it now. He wanted Jesus to do a miracle or trick for him, but he wasn't playing tricks. He was only doing as God told him to do. He said, well, I never seen anything. I just heard about it. But did you care enough to go find out for yourself? You tell me all this stuff that's going on in your church about this person being saved and that healing happened and that deliverance and all that. Well, I ain't never seen it. Well, you could if you just come and watch. Do you care enough? You're still accountable. First thing Pilate tried to wash him off his hands by saying, oh, he's okay. He's all right. See, Pilate was a good guy. He didn't want to crucify him. He just wanted to get along. Can't we all just get along? Boy, that message spirit is... I'm not going to call him message. That spirit is in the message. Can't we just get along? He's okay. He was all right. You said poor Pilate. Poor guy, he was in a tough spot. Really? You feel sorry for Pilate? He's in a bad situation. I mean, he had all these people coming against him. He had to keep his job. He didn't know what to do with Jesus. And oh my goodness, what a poor guy. He said, Pilate? And let them justify him? No, no, no. He was on his hand. He had heard the message. He'd seen the word. And he was on his hand. So is he on your hands? Pilate had the greatest opportunity in the world. God gave him a chance to stand face to face with the word standing there in flesh. All he had to do was humble himself and say, Jesus, save me. But he didn't do it. He couldn't. He chose not to do it. His wife even had a dream. He said, don't do nothing. Leave this man. They were pagans. They weren't believers. And God cared enough to even give him his wife a dream. He said, don't have nothing to do with him. He's a righteous man. He had a choice. He could have just got down right there. He came and he saw him bloody and everything. He said he could have just touched and said, help me. You say, well, if I would have been Pilate, I would have done that. Well, you have the exact same opportunity. Every message believer has the exact same opportunity tonight. Jesus Christ standing before you in flesh, and all you have to do is say, save me. Help me. You do believe that's the same, right? The same spirit is in us. The same Jesus Christ. I hope you see that. What did he do? He tried to say, oh, well, he's a good man. I find no fault in him. He said, if that ain't the answer of so many today, there's nothing wrong with the word. I guess it's okay. The Bible's all right. But we believe the church, our denomination, don't agree with it. You know what the thing is today people do? We find a fault, but depending on what it is, we don't say nothing about it because we just want to get along. We don't want to stir up trouble. So if some popular name person says, does something we don't think is right, we just step back and say, well, I just don't want to put my hands on that. That's just not none of my business. We're just going to get along. How many Jews were standing there in that day watching Jesus on trial, and they just wanted to get along. So they stood there silently, afraid to stand up, stand next to him and say, I identify with him. How many Nicodemuses wouldn't identify with him publicly? Because it's unpopular. You get a reputation. And so when something rises up around the message, people just back off and say, oh, I don't want to cause any problem, refusing to identify themselves with Jesus Christ, complicit in his crucifixion. How many of them have been healed? How many have been delivered? How many of those people stood there saying, he's done nothing wrong, he's a good guy, I believe in him. But my goodness, look at those Pharisees, look at those priests. If I identify with him now, I am going to be cast out. If I ever show up to another message, convention, or camp meetings, people are going to look at me. They're going to talk about me. They're going to shun me. They're going to think I'm a weirdo. They're going to come up to me and say, what is wrong with you and your church? They're not going to come up and hug me and say, brother, it's good to see you again. They're going to look at me and walk away. And that would hurt my feeling. Because they're afraid to identify with Christ today. The message says it's true. God proves it's true. I'll stick with my church. I find no fault in the word. It's okay for the apostles in their day, but we live in another day. We don't live in the day of Brother Branham. So therefore, I don't have to do like the apostles did. I don't have to do like Brother Branham. I don't have to be baptized the way they were. I live in another day. I don't have to have the things that they had. I live in another day. The Holy Ghost was given for that bunch. You know what they say today? All you have to do is love the prophet. You don't have to be born again. You just have to believe. You don't have to have God identify you. You don't have to have God identify your faith by giving you a new birth. You just have to say you believe, and you just have to say you love the prophet. You don't have to be born again. It's exactly the same spirit, brother and sister. We have things different in this day. No, we don't. Hebrews 13:8 puts them right back on your hands again. There's no escape. He said, you have no escape. You can't pass them off on some other age. Hebrews 13:8 condemns your thoughts, puts them right back on your hands again. Once you hear the truth, you got to accept it or deny it. That's what it is. Now, you go and take a message book and give it to someone at work or something, they read it and they say, I don't see anything about this, and they just set it down and walk away. They did not necessarily just deny the truth, but if there's an opportunity and they see it vindicated, that's when you deny it or reject it or accept it, brother, sister. It's when it's vindicated. It's when it's proven in front of you. Because besides that, you're just arguing doctrine. He said, well, if I can't just get him off my hand, I'll put him on Caesar's hand. Talking about Pilate. He said, it backfired right back on him. It does to you as an individual. What are you going to do? No matter what mother did, what papa did, what the pastor does, what Brother Branham does, it's on your hands. What are you going to do about this Jesus called Christ? Because he got blood on your hands. It doesn't matter what your pastor does, your mom or your dad or Brother Branham. What about you? It still comes down to you. Let me He said, I just say my pastor taught me this. It backfires right back. It's to you. She said, I sent a message to church where it wasn't preached this way. It's still on you. You're going to answer for it. You're not going to stand up and say, it's not my fault. Someone else's fault. You don't have to understand. I didn't have the opportunity. I had the chance. It's going to be on you. Especially you sat in this church and you've seen God do the things he's done. You, of all people who don't have an excuse, it's us. Brother Branham says this. He said, you can discern the time of communism, but you can't discern the sign of the day you're living in. He said, you can discern the signs of the skies and the weather, but the signs of the times you don't know. There he was, the Messiah, and rejecting it. And we're talking about communism and some of this stuff, but the sign of the time we don't get it. We overlook that, omit it, that, uniting together right now in unbelief that they might receive it. Fail to understand and see the sign of the time. Brother, sister, we can look around and see the politics of the day. We can look around and see the world falling apart. We see what's happening with the gay people. We can see about all the transgender. We can see about all the corruption. We can see everything going on the way it is. And our message believers stand in the pulpit and they hammer against that spirit and they hammer against that spirit and they talk about that and they talk about this. But brother and sister, who is going to identify Christ among us? It's so easy to see. We're at the end time. We're at the end time. The Baptists preach the same thing, brother and sister. We're going to have a great earthquake. The scientists are telling us that. But where is Christ? Let me move along. Got one more sheet. One more quote. Brother Branham, talk about checking yourself. Pilot is getting ready to take off his airplane, right? He checks all the instruments. He revs up the engine. He makes everything, makes sure everything is right. He said then he checks again. He got all these people's blood on his hands. If his plane isn't in good condition, if it crashes, that blood's going to be on his hands because he's the pilot. He's in control. He checks it over and over. He said a doctor, before he does surgery, he'll check and make sure everything is right. He has this person's blood on his hands. He says how the church ought to be checking it again and again and again and again. What are you checking? What are you checking? What do you say? Am I born again? No, brother, sister, once you know you're born again, you don't have to go back and check if you're born again. If you know you're born again, it's been revealed to you. It's not, am I born? No, brother, sister, are you sure that everything is right in order? Are you sure that you don't have some of your own ideas in there? Are you sure that you're recognizing Christ for this day? Are you sure that you're doing everything that he wants you to do? Are you fulfilling the word for your day? Are you letting the word have the full effect it's supposed to have in your life? He said, Brother Phil, if you know you're born again, you're sealed away, what's the big deal? If you're sealed away, that's the attitude you'll have. Because it's all about a love affair. It's not because, I'm sealed away. I'm just going to kick back and relax. You ain't sealed away. You have some idea. We're waiting for us coming. We're waiting for the takeoff. We better check it with the word. Not what somebody said. He said, go to the word, check yourself, make sure what you have is the new birth. Make sure what you have is taking you further into Christ. Make sure that the word that's supposed to be manifested today is happening in you. Just because you see it in Brother Paul or Sister Susie or Brother Jerry or someone else, is it happening in you? It's only eternal life. I mean, you might want to take it seriously. Be sure you know yourself as a personal experience with Christ. Check it again and again and again. Personal experience with Christ, you need to know. All he needs is for one word off. Remember at the beginning? Lucifer. All he had to do was get Eve to disbelieve one word. That's all it took. Check it again. Check yourself. Just get one word. Here, a few years ago, NASA was setting up a space shuttle called Challenger. Challenger went up a couple of miles into the air, blew up, killed all the astronauts aboard. One of the worst disasters NASA has had, and America has had. Have you ever heard the backstory about that? The problem was there was an O-ring. Rubberized O-ring, and it was supposed to seal between these two compartments so that the gas didn't leak out. The gas leaked out, the O-ring froze up or something. I don't know the details. Gas leaked out, ignited, and blew the thing up. The backstory in that is NASA knew it was a defective O-ring. They knew it. And the day before, the night before they sent that up, they had a big meeting with all the big shots and the engineers and the people who were in charge of it. And they sat in a room and they had this meeting discussing, do we want to send that shuttle up tomorrow knowing there is a bad O-ring, or do we want to scrub the mission one more time? Isn't that amazing? All one person had to do was stand up and say, no, we can't send it. But here's the problem. They had scrubbed the mission a couple of times. It was running over in cost. It's very expensive. That the whole public was waiting for it. And every time they had to delay it and made NASA look bad. And it was costing a lot of money. And politically, it was really hurting them. They said, we need to get this thing going. We need to get it sent off. We really need to get this shot going. And so all that was leaning on them. And they said, yeah, but what about that little old O-ring? One little thing. Think about the huge rocket. You've seen the pictures and the space shuttle. It's the big airplane looking thing, and it's attached to the huge rocket. And somewhere in the midst of all that was just one little O-ring that could scrub the whole mission. And they decided as a group, okay, we're all going to decide together. Let's go for it. That way, if something goes wrong, we'll take the hit as a group. It'll be all spread amongst us instead of just one or two people taking the hit. And they knuckled down to politics, political pressure, financial pressure, public relations pressure. They said, go ahead and send it up. They didn't want the cost that it would take to re-engineer that. They didn't want to pay the price it was going to take to scrub the mission and say, we're going to go in there and fix this thing and get it right. Let's just take a chance. If that doesn't describe many message believers, they know something is wrong. Oh, it's only one little thing. It's a little pet doctrine. It's a little pet attitude. It's a little pet bitterness. It's a little pet something they're holding against somebody. It's a little something that they don't want to re-engineer. They don't want to scrub the whole thing. They don't want to go down and tear the whole thing apart and find that one little bit of discrepancy and get it weeded out. It just takes too much effort. It might lose your popularity. In front of the whole church, you're going to get up and say, you know what, I just don't got it yet. What will everyone think? That's what NASA was saying. What will everyone think if we scrub this again? Let's take the chance. We might get through. How many people have one tiny word that they just won't come subject to? You say, well, how can you say that? Because the same thing Lucifer did at the beginning, he's doing at the end. He just needs to get you on one word. And that one word makes you the blood of Jesus Christ on your hand, because your life will not identify Christ the way it needs to with that in there. But it can sure look good. You can live a really good life. Can I just say something? This, I don't know where I'm going exactly with this. Brother and sister, when you are still so focused on trying to live such a good, holy life, that means there's something wrong somewhere, brother and sister, because you're not focusing on what God's focusing on. Is your soul right with God? Is there unbelief in your soul? And you're trying, Satan's trying to get you to just live a good life, just live holy, and judge this person by their holiness, and judge that person by their holiness. And what do they believe? And what do they believe? It's because something is wrong in your own soul. Why? Because when something's wrong here in me, I want to look and find something wrong in you to justify myself so I don't look so bad. Exactly. Judgmental, legalistic spirit. Why? Because I don't want to go through the effort to get down there and rip this rocket apart and find that one little seed of discrepancy in there that's keeping me from manifesting the word for this day. Because what would people think? I'll tell you what, if that's your reason, that is one of the most foolish reasons, because one day the whole entire world's going to see it. You might have a dozen people tonight or 30 people at this church, but what, how about a few million? What are they going to think? They're going to look and think, you are the biggest fool. They ain't going to have to think it. They ain't have to say it, because you're going to recognize it yourself. What are you? What would you hold on to? What little pet something? Well, Brother Phil, I just really want to be a preacher. Well, I just really want to do it. I just really want people. I just really want, you know, this. I know Brother Jerry preaches it one way, but I just really kind of believe it's this way. Well, I would recommend two things. First of all, I recommend you sit down with Brother Jerry. And I would recommend you sit down with God and find out why you have that problem. You know what? Here's something people do. I'm going to have to use my dad. I use my dad a lot. My dad had some very strange doctrines he believed. And this is what he would do. He would tell people. He'd send out letters. He said, now, this is what I believe. Now, if you can see where I'm wrong, you're obligated to come and tell me where I'm wrong, because I want to be right. And he was very sincere. My dad was very sincere. He said, come and tell me where I'm wrong. I want to be right. And what would happen when people would come and tell me his way is wrong? He'd argue with them tooth and nail to prove he was right. Because he had already made up his mind. This is what I believe. He wasn't willing to step back and say, okay, let me go back to neutral and let God vindicate what's right instead of my own idea, my own doctrine. How many people come to you, I just want to be right. I just want to be right with God. But when God brings it up and says, well, what about this? And they say, well, okay, I don't know. But I want to be right. Yes, you do, as long as right is the way you believe. You can bring him the word. And you can say, this is what the word says. This is what God has vindicated. And you watch them cling to their own favorite doctrine, their own favorite idea, their own way they want the church to be, their own whatever it is. And everyone has their own stuff, brother and sister. It's amazing what people are trading their soul for. Amazing. We've seen people sitting in the pews here, walking out, trading their soul for what? For a girl? For a position in the church, so I don't have to be humiliated, so Brother Gerald quit preaching that way, so I don't have to listen to that anymore, so I can keep my bitterness that I have a right to. What are you going to trade your soul for? One little O-ring and blow you up, because when that rapture go, you're going to be lined up, hey, it's time for the rapture, let's go, and you're going to get about a mile in the air and blow up. You're not getting in there at all, actually. I read this about that shuttle disaster. You know, from the ground looked up, it looked like a big thing. Everything blew up into, that thing blew up into some really big chunks left. And those astronauts were in that capsule alive, falling, for about 2 minutes, knowing they're going to die. Intense heat. They might have died going, heading down from the heat, or they might have died when they smacked into the ocean. But they were alive after that explosion, knowing they were doomed. Oh, brother and sister, don't be that person. Because someone didn't check that. This is you. You're your own engineer here on this. You're going to make the call. Are you going to try and make it without making sure that O-ring is re-engineered and fixed? Because if you do, I guarantee it, you're going to explode and you're going to know that you're heading for doom and there's nothing you can do. They are heading down there, tumbling that. Capsule, they're just tumbling all over the place, going through who knows what in their mind, knowing they were doomed. The brother and sister, one day when the rapture comes, if you're staying back, if you didn't make it, you know you're doomed. Why? Because you had your favorite little seed of discrepancy that you just didn't want to get rid of. And we couch it in so many religious terms. Well, you know, if God will just show it to me, or if, you know, if he really speaks to me about this, or whatever other thing we have to couch it in, brother and sister. What will you do with Jesus called Christ? You say, I don't know, I don't see, Brother Phil. You say all this time, you constantly say, you see Christ. Well, I don't see what you're talking about, Brother Phil. All right? Well, do you care? I keep coming back to that lately too, don't I? Here's the thing. If you don't see it, why not find out what's going on? Well, get along with God. This is you and God personally, right? You need to find out for yourself. And maybe I'm just blowing smoke. Maybe there's nothing to it, what I'm saying. And maybe you're right. But don't you think it behooves you to find out? I hope you see it. I hope what I'm saying tonight isn't striking in. I hope this is for someone on the internet or something like that. But it's not. How do you know, Brother Phil? Because I keep coming back to this over and over. And I'll just tell you right now, like I said a minute ago, sometimes I preach it and it just seems like there's a resistance or a wall or sometimes. Like, I don't know, maybe it's my imagination. Maybe it is. Let's just say it was. And you're all good to go. Let's stand. Brother Bram said, Lucifer is doing today what he did at the beginning. What he did at the beginning was get that bride to fall by one word. He's doing the same thing today. He don't care if you go to message church. He likes you there. He knows he can control you pretty well. Because people in message churches tend to do what the pastor preaches to an extent. And if they don't, they go find a pastor that they like. And they'll sit under him. But it's so easy to control people with the religion. All he has to do is you can be 100, you can be 99.99% right, but just that one little seed, that one little something, or you twist it until we don't even recognize that it's twisted. Because we have 30 years of practicing being a good message believer, and we've gotten really good at it. And we can't tell the difference, and the average message believer can't tell the difference. And from the outside, everything looks great. And I remember watching that shuttle take off. From the outside, everything looked great. It was beautiful. I mean, it wasn't the first one up, you know, went up. Sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden, it starts, you know, all this fireworks looking kind of stuff. And I thought, whoa, what's that all about? Wait a minute, that's I never seen anyone do that before. Why? It was too much trouble to go and fix that one little O-ring.
How much trouble is it, brother and sister, to check yourself again and again and again? And make sure the blood of Jesus Christ is not on your hands. What will you do with this Jesus, the living Word, today? Lord Jesus, what a warning you've given us again. Lord Jesus, I know that this is what you put on my heart to bring in. And Father, I know there are many people in here tonight who completely agree, they believe it, Lord. They've seen the evidence and they're born again and they're ready to go forward and they take this warning. And it's not that they're afraid to be lost, but they want to make sure that everything is in order so we can take a rapture and go home. So, Lord Jesus, we care. We want to see you, Lord. All we want to do is hear your voice. It's you, Lord. It's what we long for. It's just you. Help us then, Lord. Help us to press the battle. Help us to be on the front lines, not dropping back, not just riding the wave, as it were, but on the front lines with a sword drawn and shield at the ready, Lord, pressing the battle. When we get cut and wounded and scarred, Lord, then let us, brothers and sisters, help to strengthen us and get us back up into the battle and keep pressing, Lord, and learn from the mistakes. Learn from the trials. Father, when a question comes to us individually, what will we do with Jesus? Then, Lord Jesus, let it be our call that I will stand with him. I will be identified with him. I will bear his reproach. I will surrender. And then, Lord Jesus, we become one with you. Lord, I just ask you to bless this little group of people. I just bless the ones in had the loss up in the Elkton area, Lord. Just comfort them. Watch over us. And Lord, bring us all back Sunday. Just, Lord, again, ready to hear your word. I ask this in your name. Isn't it good to be a Christian? I remember sitting, listening to the messages like that when I wasn't born again, and just knowing that his blood was on my hands. What a horrible place to be. But I'm so thankful that there was something inside that said, but I don't want it to be there. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to, you know what it takes, brother and sister, to, I'm going to quit, I promise you. What it takes to identify, to accept the word is humility. You had to care enough to humble yourself, to accept the word in flesh. It takes humility. It takes love. It takes things that this old nature doesn't like very well. But it's worth it. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing a little song as we go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, the little chorus. God bless you. We'll see you.